We're looking at John the Baptist. Slowly, but surely, looking at the life of this wonderful and great man. And last week, we saw how Zechariah and Elizabeth got that news that they were about to have a baby, and we thought that one through. Well, come today to the time when the humble house of Zechariah and Elizabeth have become a busy but joyful week, joyful place over the previous week. Do you see the news that Elizabeth, this old lady, had a baby, had exploded into that community like a sudden storm? Rumours had finally become true, proved true. And the voice of the doubters had been silenced forever, as the reality of Elizabeth becoming a brand new baby was so obvious. A brand new mother of a baby was so obvious for everyone to see. And see they did. They came in droves to the house. Many came out of curiosity. Others came because they were so excited for the parents. But the big thing is they all came to share the joy of Elizabeth. Luke tells us this in Luke 1 and 58. He said, her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Isn't that a beautiful expression of scripture? And they shared her joy. Something we can imagine happening. But on this particular day, indeed this very special day, for this was a day when the little baby would be named. So on this day, the small house there nestled in the Judean hills was filled with to capacity. For to it had come a group of friends, a group of relatives, a physician and a priest to perform the sacred rite of circumcision. The holy rite of circumcision. A rite still held very strongly in Jewish homes today. A very meaningful rite for everyone to be involved in. And the interesting thing is that this rite of circumcision was to be performed on this little 8-day-old baby. And after that, after the rite of circumcision, then the long-awaited name will be proclaimed for this little baby boy. So, we're in the house. The covenantal act of circumcision is performed, with no doubt many tears shed by the little baby and a few by his mum. But I would imagine the men shouting their acclaim because they realised how important this rite was. And then there followed that special prayer that was always prayed on such an occasion. This time, however, the whole ritual is just a little bit different. Because you see, the man of the house, Zechariah, was no longer the central figure, which is very strange, because he was a man of some substance. He was the priest in the village, a man of great importance. But he was no longer the central figure. Oh, he is present, but you sense that he's there somewhere on the periphery. You see, Zechariah is unable to speak. He has been unable to speak for several months now. Unable to speak since that day when he left the temple after performing what would have been the high point of his career as a priest. That special act in the temple. He had come out and he had been unable to speak. And the word was that he was under the judgment of God. So you weren't going to sit too close to Zechariah. And so Zechariah is there, but he's not in charge. He's isolated by his unnatural silence. And so they go through the proceedings, and they reach the part in the proceeding where the child receives his name. And he receives it in a prayer of benediction. A prayer very much like the one that's still used in Jewish families, in Jewish homes today, on such an occasion. It would have gone something like this. Our God, and the God of our fathers raise up this child to his father and mother, and let his name be called in Israel Zacharias, the son of Zacharias. Let his father rejoice in the issue of his loins, and his mother in the fruit of her womb. Beautiful. It was then that Elizabeth interjected. Something no woman would ever think about, let alone do, especially in a room full of such important men. But she did. Luke tells us. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." Now we can only imagine the consternation that filled the house, can't we? We can only imagine people whispering to each other and pointing and saying, "Oh, what's she done?" We can imagine the uproar. We can imagine the priest and the other important men saying that, no, you've got it wrong. And trying to talk to her. But this woman will not be argued out of her position. She's not stepping down. His name shall be John. Not Zacharias, but John. And so, what could they do? They had to turn to the silent old man in the corner. And verse 62 tells us, then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. Isn't that so typical? Zachariah was dumb, not deaf. But they made signs. It's what we do when you see a blind person, you speak louder. See somebody who doesn't know your language, you shout at them in English, hoping that will get through. They made signs at him. And in response, Zachariah made signs back. Fair enough. And told them to bring him a writing tablet, upon which he wrote, and this is important, his name is John. Not his name shall be called John. His name is John. What a wonderful, powerful moment that would have been. And immediately, his vocal floodgates burst open. And the words started to pour out. And they were words of praise. And after 9 months of silence, he begins to speak. And he's praising God. You know, I wish I'd been there. I really do wish I'd been in that house. Even if I hadn't been able to understand the language, you know, I would have sensed, I would have felt the wonder and the joy and the praise. I'd love to have seen the faces. I'd love to have seen Zachariah's face. And the words that cascaded out of his heart. You know the last words he has spoken? Were to the angel in the temple. They were words of doubt. What's the first words he speaks now? They were words of praise. Words of belief. And we can understand that, can't we? We can understand his praise so well. For no doubt, we all know those times, those manifestations of God's power, which have really hit home to our hearts. Wonderful answers to prayers. And you think, wow, and it bursts, isn't it? Or signs of God's presence, signs of God's love that strike so deeply the heartstrings that we burst into praise, either vocally or just inside, and we start grinning along. Just this week, I decided on impulse, things had worked out for me, I had a bit of time spare, to go and visit Stuart and Michelle in hospital. As I walked down the corridor to their room, I had no idea of the trauma that they were at that very moment experiencing. When I walked into the room, I could see the tension that was there. Things had gone unexpectedly wrong. And they were right down there. And I walked in that room, Stuart turned to me and he said, "Keith, did God send you?" Wow. You see, just a few minutes before, as they had struggled with this situation, they had turned to each other and they said, you know, we need to contact Keith. And through the door I walk. And that's not me, that's God. You know, I just felt so overwhelmed by this sense of Almighty God being there. And though, didn't matter what I did, I could never muck it up at this point because it wasn't me, it was God who was doing it. And this deep sense of praise. Yes, we understand Zechariah's praise. I'm sure we do. But what we mustn't miss here is that Zechariah moved. He moved from the small picture of praise to the big picture of praise. You see, his small picture, oh, really big when you think about it in many ways, but his small picture was for what God had done and was doing in his own situation. The miracle of the birth of a child when he was so old that he could never have one. His spiritual healing that he had gone through that period of silence. And also that God had entrusted him and Elizabeth with a child that was so special. It would be the prophet of the Most High. But then we turn to the song that Zechariah proclaimed out of this experience. A song that he proclaimed that was because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Look again at it. This is the first part of his song of praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you know, we do well, too, to praise God for the things that he does for us and in our lives and in his church here at Craigie. But we must also praise God for all he is doing in the world this very minute. You know, today, thousands of people become Christians. Did you know that? Thousands all over the world become Christians. As God completes his kingdom before his son returns in glory and in power. That today, God's plans of grace and mercy are being fulfilled. And in so many places. And in so many places today, God is proving his might through signs and wonders being fulfilled. And that today, God's resolve to bring about a new heaven and a new earth so that the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea is well on track. That's God. Isn't that great? That's God's big picture. So Zechariah praised God for the signs he could now see that God's great plan was being fulfilled. And that's amazing. And a lot of that came out of that time he is sent. If you go through it, it's all scripture, scripture, scripture that it comes out of. And then Zechariah praised God for what he would do through John, through his son. And you, my child. That really strikes a chord in me. And you, my child. He never thought he would say that. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Zechariah's praise becomes prophecy about who his son would become and of the one, the great one, he would precede. And his prophecy by the Spirit is based wholly on the only Bible Zechariah had. That's what we call the Old Testament. He had used his time. He had used the silence and the seclusion well to study the old scriptures about the Messiah. And this song, recorded in Luke for us, is testimony to Zechariah's great belief. You know what? Our belief in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Almighty God, will grow and develop, as did Zechariah's, according to the time we give to read the Bible, to listen to God's word, and to study God's word with others. If you are not doing that, and you wonder why your knowledge of God isn't growing, there's the reason. We live in an age where we're becoming more and more biblically illiterate, with even Christians not giving the word of God the attention that this word deserves. The church needs to study God's word. That's what we find here. And you know, this morning we praise God for the belief that Zechariah proclaimed. Because you see, we've seen, we've experienced the fruit of it, that John the Baptist did become the prophet of the Most High God. That's obvious, isn't it, when we read the scriptures? And he did prepare the way for the Lord, as the scriptures proclaimed. And that the Lord himself did become, miraculous as it is, a man, and brought to us, this world, this wonderful gift of forgiveness for all things out of the mercy of God. And that, as the Lord Jesus Christ, he is indeed the rising sun, shining into our dark hearts of despair and of shadow and of death with a transforming light of his presence, guiding our feet away from destruction and hopelessness into the eternal path of peace. You know what? This is the one we believe in. This is the one we worship anew this morning with hearts full of praise. This is Jesus, our Lord and our God. Mighty God, we praise you. We praise you for this story. We praise you for the ability to praise you. And we ask, Lord, that you will grow in the knowledge of yourself in our lives through your word and through prayer and through gathering together, that we can indeed be testaments to you throughout this world. We want to praise you. We want the world to know that you are living, that you are Jesus, that you are great, that you are mighty. We want to know that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, present for all men. Lord, by your Spirit, work through us that others will know that you live. And Lord, we rededicate ourselves who belong to you to expressing you through our lives as you give us the opportunity. And we commit ourselves to you again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.